This morning we have another great question to consider. How can I be sure that it's God's voice and not some other voice in my head that I am listening to? Well, that's a good question. And a very practical one too, right? Time and again, the Bible tells us to listen to God, to pay attention, to hear what he is saying, and to do what it is that he is calling us to. When we actually put that into practice, how can we be sure that it is God's voice that we are hearing, and not our own ideas or some sort of evil supernatural power speaking into our minds? There are verses in the New Testament that tell us to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Jesus, to test the spirits and to hold on to what is good. So how do we do that? How do we actually tell if something in our head is God speaking or something else? To be honest, I don't know that there's one specific verse in the Bible that that answers this question, but certainly the whole witness of the Bible helps us to. So what I want to do today is actually walk with you through a case study in the book of Acts, because in Acts 10, Peter hears something in his head and he thinks it's the Lord, but he's not sure. So I want to walk with you through that process and see what we can learn from Peter in this question about is it God speaking or is it not. So join me in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 1, and we'll see what we can learn from this case study of Peter. So just to set the stage for you, Acts 10, you can see there in verse 1 that there is a man named Cornelius. And there's a little map on the order of service there, and you can see where Caesarea is up to the north. Cornelius is the commander in the Roman army. He is a Gentile. He is not Jewish, and yet he and his family are followers of Yahweh. They want to know him better, and one day an angel appears to Cornelius and says, you need to go and send for this Peter guy. And so Cornelius says, okay, and he sends some of his men to go and find Peter. Meanwhile, Peter is up on the roof in Joppa to the south, and he gets the munchies something fierce. And so as he's waiting for a meal to be prepared, he goes up onto the roof, and then he kind of falls into this trance, and he has this far-out vision. You can see it in verse 11. He saw heaven opened, and something like a sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then a voice told Peter, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Verse 14, surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything that is impure or unclean. And the voice spoke to him a second time and said, do not call anything unclean or impure which God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back up into heaven. Okay, Peter has heard a voice. Peter has heard a voice. According to verse 14, he thinks it is the Lord talking to him. And the Lord appears to have said, here, you can eat anything that you see on this menu, on this sheet that's come down from heaven, reptiles, birds, animals. How can he be sure that it is God that's speaking to him and not just his stomach? Okay, Peter's first instinct is to check the word. When he wants to know if it's really God talking, he goes to Scripture. God has spoken objectively in his word, and so anything that we hear subjectively, or anything that Peter would hear subjectively, will not contradict what God has already firmly and finally said in the Bible. And Peter says in verse 14, surely not, I have never eaten anything that is impure or unclean. Peter's not just saying, I've never had a fly in my soup. He is processing here what he's seeing through what he knows about what God has said in the Old Testament. in Scripture, which would be the Old Testament from Peter's point of view, God had said to the people of Israel, there are certain things that you should eat and not eat as a faithful person of God. For instance, Leviticus 20, 20, 25, and 6 says, you must therefore make a distinction between unclean and clean animals, between unclean and clean birds. Do not defile yourselves by an animal or a bird or anything that moves along the ground. Those I have set apart as unclean for you, you are to be holy. So Peter hears a voice that he thinks is from the Lord, and he compares that to what he knows about God in the Word. And if God seems to be saying here, don't eat that, well, that's contrary to what God has already said. So I suspect that at this point, Peter probably said, you know what, I just must be really hungry. This probably isn't the Lord, because it didn't line up with what God has already said. However, verse 17 to 20, the guys Cornelius sent showed up, asking for Peter. And Peter heard another voice saying, Simon, there are people downstairs. Go find them. Go listen to them. Don't hesitate to go with them. Peter goes down to hear what they have to say, goes with them, and then travels back over a day's journey from Joppa up to Caesarea there. And I'll bet every step along the way, he's thinking about what he heard. When they arrived at Cornelius's, Peter said to them, verse 28, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him. But God has shown me that I should not eat anything unclean or call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising objection. May I ask why it is that you sent me? But Cornelius explains how he heard God speak, and then it clicks. Verse 34, Peter says, I now realize that it is true that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts men and women from every nation who fear him and do what is right. And then he begins to explain the truth about Jesus, the good news, how he died and rose again for the forgiveness of sins for Jews and Gentiles too. And Cornelius believed, because it turned out that that vision that Peter had, that voice, was not simply about what he could eat or what Jews could eat. It was about who was allowed into the kingdom, Jews and Gentiles alike. How did Peter land at this conclusion? I suspect that every step of the way on that journey, he was checking with the Lord. What I mean to say is that he was thinking about what Jesus did and what Jesus would say about this situation. He checks with the Word, okay, but then he checks with the Lord. When he understood that this was not just about food, Peter probably thought back to Mark 7. He remembered Jesus then saying, nothing outside a man can make him unclean. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. Verse 19, Mark actually explains in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So yes, the Old Testament word had said, do not eat these things, but the Lord himself said, you can. And then he was probably thinking about the way that Jesus interacted with Gentile people all the time. The Samaritan woman, the centurion with the man with the son who needed healing, the Samaritan woman at the well, the Gadarene man in the graveyard. Peter at this point probably realized that Jesus was setting them up to understand that God did want people of all nations in the kingdom. What he heard, what Peter heard, would make him more like Christ. And so he decided, okay, this is God speaking. This is from God. So Peter heard a voice. He thought it was from God. So what did he do first? He checked with the Word. Then he checked with the Lord. But even still, this was a big departure from what Peter had always known. Like, Jews are allowed to eat bacon? Gentiles are allowed in the kingdom of God? That's a huge shift. That's a huge paradigm shift. Like, I would imagine it's something like, you know, we grew up understanding that cannabis is wrong, is bad, we shouldn't use it, and yet now your doctor is prescribing it to you. Imagine that shift, but your whole relationship with God rests upon it. This is what Peter is going through. And so he's not immediately ready to throw himself into this, I don't think. He goes one further step, and he says, I've checked with the Lord, I've checked with the Word, I checked with the Lord, I need to check with the fam. I need to check with the family of God. And you can see that in Acts 11. Acts 11 verse 1, Peter starts taking heat from some other Jews because, you know, he's being so welcoming and they haven't had, these other Jews haven't had the experience of God speaking to them and showing them this vision. And so there's a whole council of believers in verse 5. He says, you know, I heard this voice. It said, take and eat. And then Gentiles showed up at my door and I went with them and I realized the gospel was not just for us. And I've thought about what God has said in the Word. I know that it lines up with what Jesus did in his life. So now, guys, what do you think? am I right in believing that this is truly from the Lord, or is it kind of out in left field? This is an important step for Peter to take, to check with the fam. It's one thing for you to say, oh, I think God is speaking to me. It's another thing for you to take that to a group or even one other mature Christian to say, what do you think? Like, does this line up with what you understand of God and of Scripture? As it turned out, the family of believers there in Acts 11 listened, they prayed about it, and agreed that this was, in fact, God speaking, that Peter understood correctly. Peter did hear God's voice, and God was inviting all people to himself. And that's good news for us, because that's why we're here today. So, okay, let's think about this. How does this case study help us to answer the question, how do I know it's God's voice and not something else? I think that Peter's case gives us three principles. Right? Check the Word, check with the Lord, check with the fam. Absolute first thing to do when you think that you hear the Lord speaking to you is to check with the Word. Check the Bible. God has spoken objectively through the Bible. He is never going to contradict that in something that he says to you or into your heart. In a lot of ways, the New Testament answers some of the questions that were left over from the Old Testament. And so it's just a lot easier for us now to be able to go to the Bible and say, okay, what is God saying here? If it lines up with Scripture, it's probably God. If it doesn't, it's not. Drop it. If, however, there is something that Scripture doesn't address when you hear from God, the second question to ask is okay, what about the Lord? Check with the Lord. Would doing what I'm hearing make me more like Christ? Compare what you're hearing with what Jesus did in his lifetime. And this is a WWJD situation, right? Ultimately, if you check what you're hearing against what Jesus did, and that lines up, then it's probably God speaking to you. If not, it's probably not. And then if that doesn't answer it, or if you're not sure, then the third thing to do would be to check with family, right? Run it by other faithful believers who have walked this road already. We need people who can hear and measure what it is that we are saying, people who come at it from a different angle, people who don't have a vested interest in what we're saying, people who don't have the same blind spots as us. We need to have that extra level of accountability by inviting another person to speak into our lives. So if you hear something from God and you take it to another believer and they agree, it's probably from God. If not, it's probably not. So if you want to know if you are hearing God's voice, check the Word, check the Lord, check with the family. One of the things that I'm finding, especially this year, I think, with Cues from the Pews, is I would love to know the context that people are asking these questions in, because I'm thinking like, okay, I just get the question, but I'm trying to imagine what are the circumstances in which a person might apply this question. And so I kind of came up with a couple, so let me run you through with this. Okay, let's say you or someone else is contemplating a big change. You're going to change job, you're going to move house, you're going to whatever. You want to know what God is calling you to next. Okay, this is where I was 8 years ago, considering whether or not to come to Langford and to leave behind the worship ministry that I thought I was called to, or that I guess I was called to for a while, and to come here and to become a pastor. So, okay, first thing I do, check with the Word. Is there anything in Scripture that would keep me from being a pastor? I meet the qualifications for pastor in 1 Timothy 3. I think I have the shepherding gifts and the teaching gifts that Paul talks about in Romans 12 and 1 Peter 5. What I was hearing in Scripture lined up with the sense that God was calling me to be a pastor here. Second, check with the Lord. Right? You have no idea how much time I spent in prayer before agreeing to come here and to take this on. And then I kept asking the question, is this going to make me more Christ-like? And I will tell you, I wish that you all had the experience of being a pastor, because there is nothing that will make you more Christ-like than helping other people to be Christ-like. Okay, I check with the Word. Well, that was a go. Check with the Lord. That was a go. And then I checked with the fam. I checked with, talked with Doug about this. I talked with Stan Fowler about this, a couple of my seminary profs, a variety of people, kind of to speak into my circumstances and to say, okay, you know me. Does who I am line up with what this would entail? And the fact that they said, yeah, go for it, gave me confidence that it was God who was speaking. So here I am. I would encourage you to do the same, right? If you are ever looking at a big change, I would say, check what the Bible says, check what the Lord would do, check with other people. And if I can help you in that process, I would love to be able to be a person that speaks into your life and says, yeah, that's right, or man, that's a really bad idea. I don't think that's the Lord speaking to you. It strikes me too, though, you know, that's big long-term things. It strikes me that this question applies in like quick little momentary things. Like, okay, let's say I see somebody in the park and they're crying on a bench. Should I go talk to them? Is the Lord calling me in my voice to go talk to them? Or is he speaking into my head to go talk to that person? Or somebody approaches me on the street, or I pull up to, you know, 403 at Gretzky, and there's somebody standing on the corner there, and they say, you know, will you give me some money? Is God telling me, yes, I want to, or I should give them some money? In that case, I would say, okay, well, let's see here. Check with the Word, check with the Lord, check with the fam. Admittedly, in a sort of spur-of-the-moment thing here, you don't have a lot of time to do that. Frankly, time is your best friend in answering this question. Take a minute, if you can, to discern God's will. But if you can't, and whatever you're hearing passes through the check the Word, check the Lord, check with the fam test, then I would say two other things. When I hear the voice of God in my head like this, I would try to slow down, try to listen, just pause for a minute. I have a little personal rule of thumb that I'm a little hesitant to speak on because it's not foolproof. But I kind of think that when God truly speaks, he'll say my name. Like when I truly hear God speaking, it'll say, yes, Graham, give this person some money. Or, no, Graham, don't feel guilty about not giving them money. You know, that can be subjective. I totally acknowledge that. That being said, John 10, when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he says, "I call my sheep by name, and they follow because they hear my voice." So I offer that to you just as a, for what it's worth, that's my suggestion to you. It's not authoritative. The other thing is that when God calls you to do something, I think he's going to give you the energy to do it. He's going to give you the desire and the will to do it. Like Philippians 2:13, you know the first part of 2:12, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then it continues, for it is God who works in you to work and to will according to God's good purpose. If God is telling you to do something, and it is truly God who is telling you to do it, he is going to give you the desire to do it. You're going to feel this compulsion to actually do what it is that you hear God calling you to do. There will be a energy and strength and a boldness to obey. If you don't have that compulsion, if you don't feel compelled in that way, it's probably not God speaking. Like I'll tell you, there are times that I have felt guilty because I haven't done something. But, you know, I think it was more of a sort of emotional response in that moment. Other times, though, I have had this sort of sense of God saying something and this compulsion to make a phone call or to talk to somebody or do something. And in retrospect, it turns out that that is exactly what God needed to do at that moment. And the difference is feeling compelled to do it. So I would look for that being compelled sense. If you feel compelled to do something, then God is probably calling you to do it. If not, it's probably just in your head. How can you be sure it's God's voice you're listening to? Check with the Word, check with the Lord, check with the fam. For spur of the moment things, listen with your heart. Act when you have the will and the power from God to do it. Now, just to conclude, million-dollar question, should I audibly hear God's voice? Like, should I literally expect to hear sounds coming through my auditory organs? Far be it from me to say that God isn't going to speak in that way, because clearly he has, through Samuel, David, Peter, Jesus, Paul. I know that some of you have had experiences where you have sensed God is literally vocally speaking to you. By and large, though, I think that God speaks in the still, small quiet of our hearts. You know, I think there's probably once or twice that I've literally heard God speak, but in those times it's been more of an inner heart hearing with your heart rather than hearing with your ears. You know, that doesn't make anyone less of a Christian. I think what is the most important thing is that we are listening, that we are listening with our heart, that we are paying attention to what we are reading in his word, because by far that is where God will speak the most. What's important here is that you're willing to slow down and listen and to do the things that God calls us to. So how can I be sure that I'm listening to God's voice and not something else? Check with the word, check with the Lord, check with the fam. Listen with your heart. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. You haven't created us and then left us alone. You speak into our hearts. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be with us to remind us of everything that Jesus has called us to. We know, Lord, that you speak in the quiet of our hearts. And so, Lord, we pray that you would make us more and more alert to what it is that you are saying. I pray that you will lead us and guide us in this, Lord. I pray that when we hear a voice in our head, you would give us the discernment to know clearly that it is from you. Lord, when you speak, would you give us that compulsion, that desire, the energy to obey and to do those things that you are calling us to? And Lord, if there are other things that we hear in our head that are not from you, we pray that you would prevent us from feeling guilt or frustration or even question. We pray, Lord, that you would make it clear when you speak to us. We pray that you would give us a desire to read your word so that we recognize your voice. We pray that we would know you personally more and more so that we would recognize your voice. And we pray that the church family together would shape us and refine us, that we would hear your voice more clearly. We thank you for speaking. We pray that you will help us to hear and to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.